Turn over to Genesis chapter 37. More of these highlights of the glorious bridal encouragement that we see in the life of Joseph. And let's go ahead and read the first 11 verses of the 37th chapter. And it says here, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." Now, we left off last week with that precious coat of many colors. This was the coat from his father. And we know that it was given all because of the grace of God. It was all grace. Joseph didn't earn it at all. It said the reason he was the favorite, the reason he was given that, is because he was the son of his old age. And I thank the Lord for that. It stirs my heart. This was all about timing, wasn't it? Isn't that amazing? If you really think about it, timing. Time is nothing to the Lord, but timing is everything to God. And he's perfect in his timing. And I think about the time that we're in. We truly are the sons of the old of his old age. And I thank God for this age that we're in. We're in the church age. And how glorious that is. And Joseph, as we see here, he loved that grace. And he loved the grace because there were things that were going on in that field. Because we know, as we studied out the names of those brethren, there was judgment and legality and fighting and murmuring and all of these different things. And Joseph brought that to God. He brought that to his father. And you know, when you bring things to the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. You know that? And that's where you need to bring things, is to God. And you know what? When you bring them to God, I'll tell you what, he'll deal with it. A lot of times we turn to the wrong place when we want to have some things that really are intimate to our heart or hurtful. That's kind of known as gossip. And I would encourage you, don't go that way. Take these things to God. And that's a evidence of loving grace and loving mercy. See, you're not bringing the sins of man out into the public. You want to bring that to the Lord. And to have that heart, that by the grace of God, you want that healed. And we know that for Joseph, don't we? See, Joseph's life lived a testimony of loving his brethren. He didn't tell him his dreams because he wanted to torment them. He told them because he loved them. And he did. And he continued to love them. And it was evident that even, because I know every one of us by the grace of God know the story of Joseph, that even at the end after he'd been betrayed and all these things, all he could do was weep when his brethren came to see him. They didn't know who he was because they didn't recognize him. Well, what happens when you don't go in with the truth all those years, and those ones that go on with the truth continue to change from glory to glory? They don't recognize you anymore. They're still looking for the old guy, and you're the new one. You see how this story goes? It's just so beautiful and grand, isn't it? But he loved them, and he wept for them. And there was always that love and that mercy and that grace. And that's why God plucked him out of there, because the Lord allowed him to have a heart that loved grace. And we thank the Lord for this, and we see that encouragement. But by loving that grace, he was given the glory. He was given that rainbow coat. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen, because we searched out. Because the four living ones, the cherubim, as we know throughout the Word of God, representing in the encouragement that we have, the very bride of Christ is always present with the rainbow when it appears in Scripture. Always. Every single time. We didn't even touch on a couple of them, other of them. But it's there. And the bride is there. And here's the reason. It's very sweet, I believe, the very reason of it, is because they're part of the glory of that rainbow. It's the glory that Jesus Christ awaits. The glory of glorified together. Amen? That's it. But see, his brethren, they hated that. They despised that he is the first love. And it's very sad, and this will be a theme in this message tonight. Ignorant brethren often do. They become hateful. And it's sad. When brethren get stuck, they'll begin to envy your life when they didn't need to do that. They just need to go on. They just need to keep growing. But yet, I kind of think of Joseph's brethren. They were living in a certain time. Joseph was going on. They would remember, this is the way it was. Oh no, Dad's got more love. They didn't like it. They didn't like it pouring forth. And they weren't about changing. They wanted to be stuck. But it wasn't going to happen, because God's always on the move. You need to know that. I don't believe you'd be here tonight if you didn't live that. But that's the truth. And I thank God that he shows us, and he shows me sweetly in it. Now, so what does the Lord do every time when we get attacked like this? Well, you know what he does? He gives us even more encouragement. And he does, because he loves you. He knows you're going to suffer, but you know what he does? Is he brings the salve. He brings that anointing. He brings the evidence of his glory. He gives you vision. He gives you more inspiration, and he quickens into more revelation of the truth to spur us on. See, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by the grace of God, but all that encouragement, where does it come from? Him. Amen? And it does. It comes from the Word. It comes from the truth. You can try to build yourself up in good thoughts and running around and trying to do happy things and good deeds for everybody, but that's not going to get you anywhere. It's the Word of His grace that's going to build you up. It's the Word of His grace that's going to give you inspiration. It's the Word of His grace that's going to stir your heart in this message, that's going to have you fight the good fight of faith. All right? You're not going to run beating the air when you get into this gospel. When this gospel becomes your life, you'll run with precision. You'll run with preordained good work steps. And you walk in them. And hallelujah, how bold they are. So Joseph tells his brethren of this double portion encouragement of prophecy that God had given him. See, we said that last week. He didn't just dream, but he dreamed a dream. He was dreaming about a dream. I'm dreaming about a dream that's going to be reality real soon. And that's what we got. I'm just dreaming about it until I step into it. And I thank God. See, the Lord knew this young man loved grace. He separated him from his brethren. But he knew in order for him to reign, he had to be given the vision of it. Without a vision, the people perish. You've got to see this for yourself. You can continue to walk around the promise, but you got to enter in. Those prophets, the sons of the prophets, they saw it afar off. They saw Elijah with Elisha afar off. They saw those happenings afar off. But that's where they always were. They were afar off. But when you go after the double portion, you're not going to be afar off. You're going to be engaged. You're going to be laying hold. You're going to be taking it. And then by the grace of God and taking it and starting to see what it is and starting to see his heart and what he wants, you're going to ask for more. You're going to be just like Elisha. You're going to say, I want more. Oh, and that just makes everybody mad. Well, there couldn't be any more. Oh, yes, there is. The much, the more continues to grow. His grace just multiplies. The mercy is endless. It's magnificent how it continues to pour forth. So, here's what goes on. The Lord gives him that vision. He gives him that dream. He gives him the promise and prophecy of what is his. And you think about like our lives, brothers and sisters. God has separated us because by the grace of God, we have a love for his grace. See, I hear that often, and you know, kind of, I'm thankful for it, but you want to have this word rightfully divided and according to rightfully divided truth. Every saint is a grace saint, but not every saint is in love with grace saint. Do you understand that? Every saint is saved by grace. Every saint. You couldn't got saved any way else. So you're a grace saint. Because all saints are saved by grace. All right? And you can make grace vain in your life. But I'll tell you one thing. That grace will still never leave your life. See, he's full of grace and truth. And if he said, I always will abide faithful, then grace is always there, isn't it? Amen? Praise God. But the question is, are we in love with grace? And really in love with grace? And falling in love with grace over and over and over? And this is what this is really getting at. By the grace of God, we have fallen in love with grace. And what happens is God then gives you a vision of Paul's gospel. You begin to see the ruling and reigning gospel, don't you? And not just something afar off. You begin to see your life seated in the midst of the throne. You begin to have visions. Amen? And not just a dream. It's a vision that I'm seeing the innumerable multitude out there. All right? I'm seeing things in type and shadow that Joseph was seeing. Joseph was talking about. And you know one thing about God's word? It always comes to pass. And you know what happens to those who believe it and abide in it? It comes to pass. And they participate in it. And they don't just see it from afar off. See, the sons of the prophet are just like the palm wavers, just like the innumerable multitude. They're seeing the throne from afar off. They're there afar off from it, waving a palm. But Elisha, what did he do? He went in to take the double portion, didn't he? And what did he get? He got it. But where did he go to get it? He went into the midst of it. And that's what Paul's gospel does. It brings us into the midst of that throne glory. It takes us from servant to friend to lover. It brings us into that communion with the Lord. And I thank God. We see this in the life of Joseph. We see this in everyone who's been called and chosen of God. It's grace. Joseph didn't do a thing. He didn't merit a thing. Praise be to God. He was born right. He was born right then for the grace of God. And here we are in this marvelous church age. Oh my, what a time to be born. What a time to be born again. Amen. What a time to grow and fall in love with grace. So this is what God has brought forth. But see, he separates us out. He gives us the vision of ruling and reigning. And then in his word, he assures us and he confirms it, doesn't he? This isn't apprehended by good thoughts. We lay hold of the word of God. Amen? See, we lay hold of his head and we lay hold of his body. We love one another. This is why we come to a Bible study. Yes, to hear the word of God. We grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But thanks be to God. for the effectual working of the love that causes us to grow in faith and to have evidences of the love works of faith. Praise God. That's why we do come to Bible study. I thank the Lord. We're not here just in a cerebral purpose. I thank God we come here also too because we love one another. We love to hear the word together, don't we? I'm thanking the Lord to hear the ones that are hearing the word right now. Praise God. And I know that in Christ there would be that longing to gather. And you know what? He still does it. That love would be shed abroad even through a camera. And praise God. And even through that computer. God's way beyond that stuff anyways. But that's what's so precious. But see, he confirms that we have this double portion. He shows us that we know it's even a hundredfold double portion that we have all throughout the Word of God. See, this Word ever encourages us virtually in every story. Think about every life we're beginning to study. Every story throughout the Word of God. Does it not reveal the love of the Bride of Christ? I mean, it's incredible. And it's not just the chapter, it's not even just the book, it's every word. I mean, he's so infinite in just one word. Think of the meanings that we get into. And again, we know that the Holy Ghost is the one that's done that. And it's not to get lost in the weeds. Oh no, it's to get lost in his love. And that's the beautiful thing. And I've said it many times before. Have you ever really been in love? Well, I hope you have. And it's an exciting time. You ever get a love letter? I hope you have. And I'll tell you what, when you're really in love with that one you got the love letter with, you didn't read that thing one time. Or you really weren't in love. You're in love with yourself then. Just throw the thing away. You read it. You study it. You go try to figure out what really is in there. How much does that person love me? Well, in that letter, you might be making up stuff. In this, you'll never even understand in a way. You never get beyond him, but you can know the love of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So that's what's so beautiful about it. But he ever encourages us through every written page and chapter and word how much he's about his bride. Now, we come, praise God, to this place of all comfort. And all comfort is when the Lord gives us a vision. And the comfort, because listen to this, do we ever hear of Joseph murmuring, really? Not too much. He goes to his father, he tells them about the evil report, but he went to his father. So in that, when we go to our father, when we go to God, and we're expressing our heart to him, even when there's trouble, when you go to God, there's peace, because you're seeking the word. Amen? So think about this. After that, we don't hear of Joseph fretting. Even as his brothers come to attack him and belittle him and discourage him and tell him. And let me tell you something, Joseph's not stupid. Joseph's a very smart man. Joseph can perceive a lot of things. But you know what? Joseph loves through it. And he continues to love. And that's only what God can do in our lives. But this is what's so beautiful. He comforts Joseph by giving him more of a vision. And isn't it interesting in your life, as you continue to have more of a vision of the deep love of Christ, how much more patience and love you have for those that go after you, that hurt you, that want to discourage you, that have hurt you even in the past? That's why, by the grace of God, continue to grow up in Christ. Continue to take this love. Continue to grow through that. You grow up into all that of Christ. Amen? Does the Lord not love? I mean, he loves. That's it. That's how our precious Savior is. Let him love in you. But it takes that growing up. So the Lord gives him a dream, and he has enlightened eyes of understanding. What does he do? He goes and tells his brethren. And just like Paul said, I'm not going to withhold a thing. And Paul knew, and Joseph knew too, the result was that, you know what? You're probably going to hate me more. But I still love you, and I'm going to tell you. It doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, I know once in a while, the Lord will point out, in a sense, someone that's having a hard time with a sermon. Maybe not liking me for it. But I know it's not me. I know it's the truth. You understand that? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not doing that. We understand what's God's got, and we know this is a spiritual fight, and we're going to fight the good fight of faith. But now we get to this first dream, and this is exciting here. It says, "For behold," in verse 7, this is Joseph saying, "we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." So, now, we've always rejoiced, and I thank God, and you continue to rejoice in the metaphor what we have here of the Lord. We understand that this is a type and a shadow of all bowing down before Christ. I thank the Lord for that, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you something, she's there too. The bride always is. And I thank God she's glorified and exalted with him. And rejoice in this, brothers and sisters, because this is the greatness of grace. When he says there through Romans 8:17 through Romans 8:19, when he starts there in 8:17 and he says, "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we may be glorified together with him." That phrase, glorified together, means exalted to the same glory. It's beyond. But is not Jesus beyond? Was not the death of the cross beyond? Was not what God had done in his patience and through every instance in dealing with Israel, was it not beyond? Our God is beyond, and he's limitless in that beyond. It's amazing. And so that's why believe the word of God. And then we have the wonderful Philadelphia company in Revelations 3:9. And I thank God. I'm sure all here are familiar with that. But that Philadelphia company, it talks about how the Lord, he adores them. And not because of great things that they've done, but because they have a little faith. They have a little strength. They love that word. They love the word of his patience. They hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And so beautiful what the Lord says. I'm going to make them of the synagogue of Satan. Come and bow down before your feet and worship. And I will make known to all that I have loved thee. Listen to this. Listen to his adoration and his joy. Can you hear his joy as he's saying that? Do you know what joy he's going to have with her? Ecstasy, everything that he's going to share with her. He's anticipating that. He's seeing it. But thanks be to God, he's awaiting for it until his father says, "Go get her." Exciting times that we live in. So, notice here, it says Joseph's sheaf arose. This is a wonderful word, this word arose. Same word in the Hebrew to describe Rebecca in Genesis 24:61 when she arose on that camel. Okay? That word arose, it means to stand upright. But get this. It means to be established and placed over a thing. So he arose. And when you feed on that word and you rise up, and just like that sweet Rebecca when she got up on that camel, at that moment when she said, "I'll go," and this was just a continuation of that encouragement in her heart that she believed the proposal of the bridegroom. When she arose and got onto that camel, she was going to be established, and praise be to God, it was, and to be placed over a thing. And see, by faith, in our hope of our calling, we stand established in faith by the grace of God in the gospel that's been given us, that we live as kings right now. By the grace of God, we believe in a gospel that tells us if we'll suffer with him, we'll rule and reign. And by the grace of God, in believing that, we call those things which be not as though they were. See, it's not for me to work to obtain that. It's merely by faith. Just believing that, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? How many times throughout the Word of God did Jesus even say, well, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. It is that simple. It is by the grace of God that perfect. It's the only thing that pleases God is faith. It's not how loud we shout, how loud we do anything. It's not how grand I can act as if I love the Lord. It's faith. But I will tell you something. When that starts bubbling in you, you'll start to make sounds. You'll groan. You'll even get a little bit beside yourself. And it's okay. But understand that. Be a vessel that's shut up to God. Let Him make those moves and that reaction and that triumph and the trumpeting of your life. Let it be Him. Always be Him. By the grace of God, we wouldn't want anything to be of us. But this is so sweet here, because what a thing that is going on in our lives. What are we being established in? What are we going to be placed over? Praise God. What thing is that? In Revelation 5:10, everything. Everything. Those four living ones, let me tell you something. They're over everything with Him. I rejoice in the Revelation study. I see by the grace of God the participation of His wife and all of that judgment that's poured forth and all of the establishing. But yet we went into the Song of Solomon, and remember as it was wrapping up, remember, she was the one that was getting up early and said, hey, this is like our honeymoon here, honey. Let's get down there. Let's get it going. These are the things that give Him joy. And you know one thing about a wondrous wife? She loves the things that give her husband joy. How much more so for us with our husband? Amen. Believe Him. Praise God. That gives Him joy. Now, but there's more here in that sheaf. I want you to think about this. A sheaf is a bundle of stalks, isn't it? A sheaf is not just one stalk. So it was a bundle of stalks. Well, think about us. Are we not tightly fit and compacted together? Amen? And I think about that so sweetly in that, as God has done this. And it stands and it rises up. And I love that, that as that rises up, it means to build and erect, okay? So as that sheaf rises up, it means to build and erect. Remember Acts 20:32? The word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now think of that, what it's doing for you. But where does it put you? It puts you in that bundle. Amen? Think of that. In that sheaf of all them that are sanctified. Praise God. It makes that perfect wife for Him. There's that beauty of that unity and that oneness that the Lord is doing. And I thank God in this. And once again, all of these types and shadows that come out in this precious encouragement that we have here. But then it says that your sheaves, as He's speaking to His brothers, you know, guys, your sheaves stood up too, but they stood up around mine. And then they bowed down and gave me homage. Joseph, are you nuts? Huh? Come on now. But I'm going to tell you something. How about thinking about the 24 elders round about the throne in Revelation 4? Let's go on over there. Let's read that real quick. Revelation chapter 4. Now, I thank God that we see in type that when John is taken up into heaven here, the very first thing he sees there is that wondrous throne. All right? And he sees those two stones on that throne. We've talked about that as well, too. But here's the first company he speaks about, in a sense, as a company right there in verse 4. He says, and round about the throne, so round circling it, are 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, I am so thankful to the Lord for the things that we see in type and shadow throughout the Word of God that give us encouragement in Scripture. I'm thankful that in this precious meeting, by the grace of God, we see and we preach that this company of 24 elders are the full overcomers of the Old Testament. All right? I thank God for that. I believe when we see that you go back over to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, you'll see that the number 24 is the priestly number of the Old Testament. So this is evidences of it. I'll just give you a few here. 24 is the priestly number of the Old Testament. The word elders means forefathers among the Jews. Hebrews 11:2, you'll read that there. And then, I think this may just really sum it up. These guys are wearing white raiment. Well, this word white is leukos white. It's not the lampros white. And I'll tell you one thing. That bride, she wears one kind of glory, and that's lampros. And that's like him. She doesn't have different garments there. She's got one, and it's him, and it's his glory. So in that, we have this established that we have this group, and praise God, they're brethren. They are brethren. And I think of this as a sweet type and shadow of what we're reading about in a way tonight. But let's go on over. So we see that these 24 elders are of this group of these full overcomers of the Old Testament. Now go on over to verse 6. And it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Now here we have the cherubim. Here we have the living creatures. We have them. Now, it says that they are in the midst of the throne, and they're also round about the throne. Let me tell you something. When they're like him, they're just like him. They're all over the place. But there's one place that's marked out that no one else has that place but him and these four living ones, and that's in the midst of the throne. That's right there, seated right in the center of it, ruling and reigning jointly together with him. Now, let's go on and read verse 9 through 11. So, we have established that in the midst of the throne, we have the four living ones, and we have established that round about the throne are the 24 elders. All right. Now, verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him," and notice they give glory and honor and thanks to him, "that sat on the throne who lived forever and ever," what happens then? "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne." Now specifically, we know that the worship will be for the Lord. We understand that. But it doesn't say at this point that the four living ones are falling down before the Lord. It doesn't say that at all. We know that they're established, that they're in the midst of the throne. They're right there with him. And the ones that are falling around the throne are the 24 elders before him that sat on the throne. And what do? They worship him that lives forever and ever. And what do? They cast their crowns before the throne. And I will say this, and I'll say this with great adoration. If the Lord is telling me to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, I'm going to tell you, he will in no wise want me to ever cast that crown before him. Even the king and the queen, that queen is always to be with that crown. It would be the greatest of insults for her to not have that crown. It would be a complete dishonor to him. To him. So, what do these 24 elders say? "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And I think that's such a great distinction from what the four living ones said earlier, or what they do. They didn't say it, they give it. See, the four living, the four beasts, they give glory and honor and thanks. You get that? Really receive that. They give it. They give it. All right? But the 24 elders, what they do is they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what's being given." Right? You see the difference? One's giving it, And the other company is praising God that he's worthy to receive it, what they're given. Glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. So what are they thanking him for? They're thanking him and praising that he's worthy to receive the glory and honor that the bride is giving him by being seated in the midst of that throne. And they're praising and saying that it was created, all things were created, and especially her, for thy pleasure. The good pleasure of his will. All right? Praise God. Now, I believe I get a little picture of that with Joseph. Do you not? Praise God. All right. Now, we're going to get to some of you if you're still kind of dragging your feet. But she will share his glory, and I thank God she's exalted to the same glory in all things with him. But what happens? Let's go on back. Let's what happens here in verse 8. Got to move along a little bit. It says there, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. So they mocked him, just as they did Jesus. And by the grace of God, we're sharing in those sufferings right now. If you really stand for the truth, they'll come. You tell them in love the precious place that God has for you, and you believe that, I'll tell you what, they still will despise you because of their unbelief. You think about those that insulted Joshua and Caleb, right? Those other spies went in there, they saw it. They knew of that promise, but they didn't love it like Joshua and Caleb. They weren't in love with it. They didn't want it now. Oh, we'll take it another time. Maybe it's really not for us. Maybe we need to think about this. When you're in love, my goodness, I'm going to go get that right now. And that's the difference. And that's why they despised them. That's why they insulted them. And yet, they entered into the same thing. They saw the immensity of it. But one wanted more and to enjoy it now. And yet those others said, we'll just enjoy it later. I know ones that know the bride like that, that get upset with ones that want to know more and want to enjoy it now. I think this whole word and everything about it is, you know what? You don't wait. I'm living in Canaan now. Don't we sing about that stuff? Or was that just a song and a tune? Get ornery in the Lord. You'll be happy. Now, it's not just the dream. Notice there, isn't it? They hated him more, what for his dreams and what for his words. That always gets them. See, the word's sharper than any two-edged sword, doesn't it? Verse 9, wasn't done yet. And he dreamed yet another dream. And what did he do? He told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made over sense to me. Oh, I love that. It's so wonderful. God always gives you more encouragement, doesn't he? They hate you more. He'll throw more love at you. They despise you more. He'll come in and he'll nestle you in real, real tight. Especially when the enemy's trying to beat us down and even beat us down through loved ones. Joseph dreamed more. It only grows. But see, you got to be in it to experience it. And that's the thing that's beautiful about this. Just stay in it, be in it. Get that alabaster box and keep pouring it all over him. Amen? And see, and this is really, I guess, what I was saying there a moment ago. If you're still sitting on the fence a little bit with this, still doubting, how can this be the encouragement of the bride? You know, people sometimes, I've just seen this and this, and this is all that can be seen in it. But I ask you, does he not say we're going to be glorified together? Just keep Keep searching it out. Let the Holy Ghost reveal it to you, because I tell you what, one star does differ from another in glory, doesn't it? One star differs from another in glory. Paul brought that out in Corinthians, right? And there is a star that will be the king's Esther. You know the story of Esther. She was it, all right? No one thought she was. She didn't even think she was. She didn't even understand what was really going on. But grace drew her, found her. Grace chose her, and grace made her the favorite one. All right? And by the way, the name Esther means star. So she was the favorite star. And she was. She was the most beloved star. It said that King Ahasuerus loved her more than all the other women. So you could even say it like this. Loved her more than all the other stars. She was the star of stars. All right? All the other virgins, all the other daughters. How many different wonderful times do we hear that of different Gentile bride types? Amen? But praise be to God, it's all here. And then, even to think of this, it says that there were 11, right? Do you notice that? There were 11. Now, the number 11 means not complete or incomplete, okay? You know who Joseph? He was the 11th child. So you got 11 stars and 11, so we got all this incomplete. Well, see, Christ and the bride are not complete without one another. They're not. And Paul's gospel tells us that. Because Paul's gospel in Colossians 1:25, it said Paul's gospel was given to what? To fulfill or complete the word of God. What was his gospel that was given? It was the bridal truth, amen? It's the one that's going to seek out the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and truth. And bring him. And I say him and her. It doesn't, you know, it's all that, you know, it's the mature son. It's also the wife, my sister, my spouse. I mean, it's just endless in how this is. But it will bring that bride to him. And this is what's so incredibly beautiful about this. But see, and then the 11 brothers there of Joseph, are they not complete without one more, right? Because you have to have 12 for the perfection of divine government. That's what that 12, the number 12 represents. So if they're one short, the one means God and unity. I'll tell you, you just got to go chew on that and you'll see the beauty of it even more. But all of that meaning within that little tight packed little 11. Incomplete, but yet complete. But it hasn't been revealed. Praise God. Now, verse 10. It says, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the sayings. Kind of interesting, I think about in his faithfulness, he afflicts us, you know? So the father gave him some rebuking, but yet the father observed. Let's go over these real quick before we part tonight. Verse 10, rejection and criticism goes on. It's not going to get any better. Those that don't want the truth ain't going to want you. Those that are going to wrestle with the scriptures, they're not going to want you. It's not going to be that way. And it's going to get worse and it's going to get personal. You think about Jesus Christ. It went all the way, didn't it? Even to the point of, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen? And then he went into death completely alone. But for us, I will say this, it can get incredibly lonely at times, can it? But the Lord does do that and he does it divinely. But we always have him who will never leave us nor forsake us. So verse 11, the brethren are still jealous. But his dad, it says, observed. And that's a very powerful word about how the father observes. And that means, even though he was rebuking his son, it's called chastening. Does the father not chasten us? Oh, sure he does. Now, does he just chasten us? Does that just mean when we're doing wrong? Oh, no, no, no. He chastens us because he loves us. He puts us in things, has us go through things. And I always tell him, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. You made me all messed up like this, so we gotta have a big discussion, you know? But see, His brethren were jealous, but his dad observed. So even though there was chastening by the dad, here's what that word observe means. It means to guard, it means to protect, and it means to wait for a treasure that will come. To guard and protect and wait for a treasure that will come. Isn't that glorious? Now, you think about in Joseph as the type of Christ. The father gave his son to die. But he knew that that power, his power, would raise him from the dead. And he knew that that power would have him ascend back to the right hand. Amen? So thankful about that. But now think of this. We have the son that is waiting for his bride. And the father awaits that moment when his son will be complete. And I thank God, even in these scriptures as we read, and we read this from time to time, the camels are coming. The father sees the camels are coming. Because he sent that servant with them camels to get that treasure, to bring it back to his son. And it's very marvelous, because that double portion, hundredfold, is over and over and over in this wondrous word. And we'll just leave it there for tonight. So, praise the Lord. And it only gets better. More layers of glory all the way through this. And I'm thankful you're delighted in his love too. He's a romantic, I'll tell you, isn't he? Let's stand, be dismissed.